Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Following On podcast. I'm John Norman, bringing you a special one-off show today. A chance to listen back to a brilliant interview that took place at the news building where TalkSport broadcast from in London Bridge. Azeem Rafiq, fresh from his appearance in front of the DCMS, chatting with the legendary duo Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
Story of the day.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. In different circumstances, we could be chatting to our next guests about T20 World Cup we've just been involved in and an Ashes to look forward to. But as he said yesterday in his evidence to the DCMS committee, that racism has effectively ruined his career. Azeem Rafiq is with us. Azeem, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
So it's been just over 24 hours since you kind of were free to leave after you're giving your evidence to the DCMS. I mean, what sort of 24 hours has it been? Have people been reaching out to you? Has it generally been positive, the reaction to what you said?
Yeah, look, leaving there, I felt incredibly relieved. A burden that I'd been carrying on my own for a long time. And it was time that I shared that burden a little bit and like shouting from the rooftops for the last 18 months and no one listening. I felt like yesterday was a step towards people starting to listen. I've not really followed too much of what the reaction has been, but I think generally what surprised me is how surprised people are. If you ask any person of colour, they'll tell you they're not surprised at all. This has been happening for a very long time, especially at Yorkshire County Cricket Club. When we looked into it in detail, there is so much in the public domain. Imran Khan talking about it in 1999, MP Terry Rooney in 2004, but it's always been met with defensive mentality and closing of the ranks, and people have not been able to push it through. But I was very determined to make sure that my voice was heard.
Was it cathartic to finally have your say? It must have been.
Yeah, look, it was important. There's a lot off my chest, that I need to get off. And it was important for me to set a few records straight as well. Throughout the whole process, the club has tried to discredit me, attack me personally, brief about me. But look, I wasn't perfect, but nothing excuses racism. And arguably, some of the behaviours that I spoke about yesterday are unacceptable.
As someone who experienced a bit of this in my earlier work life, I understand why it took you so long to bring this up, because when you're a young player, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, look, a couple of things. Young player wanting to play cricket to the highest level he can. You know, if you say anything, if you rock the boat as such, you're going to be perceived as a troublemaker. But actually, genuinely, I didn't even realise what was happening to me. I knew there was something not right. I started taking medication for my mental health around the back end of my first spell, but I could not put a finger on what was going on. But it became very evident in 2017-18, around the pregnancy and the loss of my son, that I'd been looking the other way, and this constant little digs, constant little stuff had cut me open, and I was struggling. Mm.
Some of the names you mentioned in your witness statement and yesterday, one or two people have been reacting to that. Tim Bresnan has apologised for bullying, saying there was no racist aspect to that. We've also had David Lloyd apologising. You mentioned him yesterday. I mean, when Matthew Hoggard reached out to you and apologised, you said you accepted his apology. How do you view the other apologies and the other sort of statements that have been issued since?
Yeah, look, Hoggy reached out when there wasn't a threat of it being in the public domain, and I admire him for that, and I accept his apology deep, and I thank him for that, because the next morning after I spoke out, it made a real difference that someone did. Obviously, David reached out yesterday, and again, I made it very clear to him what he said was unacceptable. For someone who doesn't even know me, for him to say those things meant that it must have come from somewhere else, and he told me that he'd been briefed from someone close to the club. So I accepted his apology, and look, from the offset, all I've said is I want an apology, an acceptance, and a couple of people to answer why. Why did they feel that it was right? Why did Martin Moxon feel that my first day back after the loss of my son, that ripping, literally getting him, me in a room and ripping the shirts off me was the right thing to do?
Mm. Not good. The expression, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. You describe Joe Root as a good man, so should he have called this out?
Yeah, like I said, look, Root is a good man. He never engaged in it, but to suggest that he wasn't present would be wrong. And it just shows how bad that environment and that culture and that institution was, that it was such a norm that no one thought to go, hold on a minute, this has got to stop. And it just shows how far we've got to go when good men are looking the other way.
After you gave your evidence, Roger Hutton, the former Yorkshire chairman, and Tom Harrison from the ECB, the chief executive, gave theirs. You've not had a chance to react to that. I mean, especially Tom Harrison's appearance, if you look at any of the newspapers today, I mean, Oliver Brown, for example, chief sports writer, Harrison's corporate cliches prove he is unfit for purpose. I don't think it probably was his finest hour. How did you view it?
Just that, corporate. I just feel like these guys have lost the human touch. I don't think they get it, and that's a real worry. I've heard a lot of stuff since last year about how serious they are and how serious everyone is. Through my experience in the last 18 months, I don't think anyone cares, and I think it's only now that the sponsors started leaving and the politicians started becoming interested that they've been left with no option but to intervene. So I think just that, I think too much of the corporate rubbish, PR initiatives, and trying to tell everyone how much they care, but the actions don't match that.
They want to say they want to work with you to make things change. They've talked about whistleblowers, hotlines. I mean, are you happy to engage with them? Do you want to be part of that process?
Look, I think the whistleblower hotline seems like a good step in the right direction. What it does is it listens to a lot of people who have suffered abuse, hears them and then supports them, which I think has got to be the first thing. There seems to be this massive rush to move forward. Got to deal with the present and the past before we start to move forward and actually realise how big this problem is. I've heard over 1,000 people have come forward to the commission. So, and then, look, in terms of myself, a lot of people are really fearful of speaking out. Clearly I'm not, and I think I can make a big difference by challenging them and pushing them in the right direction. Whether I become involved formally or not, they would have to take me as I am, which if things are wrong, I would call it out.
Yeah.
One of the tragedies of this is that you had to give up cricket completely. It's so sad. You're 30. I was looking at your figures. Your T20 bowling figures are great. I mean, do you think you'll ever be in a position to go and play franchise cricket? Have you been so burnt by this that you wouldn't go and... I mean, there are leagues all over the world. I mean, a guy as good as you presumably would be in demand.
Look, oh, thanks. I didn't really want to... I've tried to avoid talking about my cricket, but I think my T20 and my one-day stats speak for themselves. I don't really know. You never say never, but I just feel like I'm so broken and I need to heal. And I think my family needs me, that's the most important thing to me right now. But look, as you say, I'm only 30 and never say never.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to look at any social media? I don't think I would, actually. But, I mean, have you done that in the past 24 hours?
Bits and bobs, but it's just... I mean, majority has been so positive, it's been overwhelming. bits and bobs, but I think once I get in the car on the way home, I'll sort of might start to dawn on me actually how big this has got.
And does that make you feel that this is a kind of catalyst for change? If you look at the reaction that you've had, maybe from other people in the game, that we've already seen two or three other players willing to speak up, saying you've been an inspiration from that point of view, does it fill you with a bit more optimism?
I think we've got hope there. And I think it's important that it's not just an outrage for a couple of weeks and then everyone goes back to the normal self. And I feel a sense of responsibility there to make sure that that doesn't happen. Whether it ends up getting the change that we all want, I think that's something we'll have to judge in a few years' time, because it's got to be organic change. Tokenism is not going to solve this problem, actually. I think it's been putting us back for a long time.
Yeah.
If I see a PR thing from the ECB or Yorkshire or the PCAs, they've employed someone of colour in the next week or so, that'll be same as what they've been doing for a very long time, to tell everyone how great things are. And I think the mirror has been shown yesterday. Yeah.
One of the shocking things, sorry Paul, that I found was this revelation about the word Kevin. I'd never heard this expression. I'd never heard anything like this. That's pretty horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it was just used by Gary as a derogatory term for every person of colour. I don't know the background meaning to it either, but it was done all the time, and yeah, it was just horrible.
What did your family make of the appearance yesterday? As in, your folks and your dad, what did they make of your appearance yesterday? Because, I mean, it must be incredibly tough for you. It was nearly 2 hours in a pressurised situation, as you said, something that you've wanted to get off your chest for a long time.
Yeah, look, I didn't actually feel pressurised in there. I didn't take any notes or anything, because I could literally relive that moment and how it made me feel, because it's still so raw. Yeah, I spoke to my dad and my wife last night. They were just incredibly proud that what I did yesterday is hopefully going to change sport, cricket, and hopefully society, and put it back in the right direction.
Yeah. And do you hope that this is... I mean, you talked yesterday about the drop-off from recreational cricket with South Asians to the professional ranks. I mean, across the board, but certainly with Yorkshire, quite
percentages
shocking.
Were staggering.
So, I mean, do you hope now that you've given some hope to those kids? I know some have reached out to you and you've heard some fairly horrific stories of things that are still going on, but do you like to think they'll look at things differently after yesterday and it can make a change?
I think what it'll do yesterday on both sides, one, it'll show the perpetrators that this is not acceptable, and there's going to be accountability, and that's where the leaders have got to make sure that these people are held accountable. And I think on the victim side, it's going to show, right, if I speak out, my voice is going to be heard. There's someone there I can contact who will stand with me, and I will do that, because I know how on my own I was left through this whole process. Mm-hmm. I've been incredibly lucky to have a few people that have helped me throughout it, but on a whole, I was left on my own from every angle.
Yeah, I understand he was more proud of you yesterday than any time during your cricket career.
Yeah, he did, and he said, "You know what? That's bigger than anything what you've done today." And yeah, I'm glad I've made him proud.
Yeah,
and if one thing comes out of it, let's hope we never hear the word banter used to justify this, because it's so poor.
Yeah, I'm sick of that word, to be honest. And the worrying part of it was the panel that came to that conclusion had people of colour on there, a big employment lawyer, a highly respected surgeon, and Mesbah Ahmed, who's CEO of London Tigers and an award-winning community organisation, and he did an article like the day after standing by that finding. It just shows how big the problem is.
Yeah. And just one final question. You've been the catalyst for this. You know, you were prepared to stand up and say this, but do you want to carry it forward? Or as you're just saying, you know, you have been burnt by this. It has been emotionally tough. You need some time with your family. So are you going to be actively involved? Or are you going to sort of step away, you think, now from this and let the process happen and keep an eye on it?
I think I'll have a few days with the family, maybe a week or two, but I'm not prepared to let this go. I think I just feel like if I went into the background, these guys will go back to their normal way. And I don't think as a society we can allow that anymore. We're in 2021, for God's sakes.
Yeah. It's absolutely true. Some of the stuff that was being said, you'd be shocked in the 70s, let alone now. So,
absolutely. Hopefully the Select Committee have done cricket a favour, you know, because all of us that love cricket don't want to see this ever again.
I really think if the cricket sees it for what it is, it's a massive opportunity to lead on this. And I thank the politicians. I really do think that they've done cricket and Yorkshire cricket a favour and given them an opportunity to get it right.
Yeah, we wish you well. We'd love to see you back coaching. We know you've done your badges and that's an option for you, or even playing, as Andy said. So lovely to meet you, and all the very best in the future. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks very much. Cheers, guys.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.